This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to 3-3-1 Cast. This podcast is your pit stop for a comedic but educational take on the crazy and illustrious world of Formula One.
We will take you through the latest news and happenings, while also offering our views and perspectives on the key moments, both on and off the track. So, to quote the great David Croft of Sky Sports F1,
it's lights out and away we go.
Hello, welcome back to 3-3-1 Cast. You're joined with Josh and Stephen and me, as per usual.
G'day, g'day.
But alongside us today in the studio, we've crammed everybody in. I think we're sitting with six people here. We're joined by the lovely Moore.
Hi.
We got Josh and Chelsea. Josh and Chelsea.
Josh and Chelsea.
Josh and Chelsea. And my girlfriend Ella to my right as well. Guys, how are you?
Great.
Good.
So stoked to be
here. Yeah, it's going to be good. So what we're combined here with is a 50-50 split of people who love Formula One and people who know very little about. So
I mean, it might be fair to say nothing about Formula One.
I think if anything, Moore is probably more up to date on Formula One because I'm sure she cannot hold back Stephen's ramblings.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I don't talk about it that often.
Yeah, avoid at all costs.
Yeah, she's certainly not a fan.
Yeah, I've sometimes asked Chelsea, do you want me to tell you about the race? And she's like, later, which means never.
Later.
No, look, so we're here today. We're basically going to go through and try and sell them on the sport of Formula One. If you're listening and you've been listening to previous episodes, you're typically likely to be a fan. Maybe you've watched Drive to Survive. Maybe you've been a long-term fan like Stephen. And it's time to convince three more young prospects into the sport. So, without further ado, let's start.
Open the floor.
Who knows what? What do you guys know about Formula One? What is Formula One?
It's racing, right? Like cars.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And all I know is there's a guy called McLaren. And there's a show about him. That's all I know.
What team does McLaren drive for?
Red Bull.
Oh! Well.
I just named a generic.
So McLaren races for Red Bull? Is that what we're saying?
That's a really good guess.
It's a great guess.
If it was right.
Sorry.
No, Max. Do you mean Max Verstappen? Do you mean Max Verstappen?
I have no idea.
I think she means McLaren.
McLaren.
Not McLaren.
So McLaren is a Formula One team.
Ah.
But it was also named after a famous New Zealand driver.
Yes, yeah. I watched the movie on it, and that's kind of all I know.
Yes, because Chelsea's parents gave me that movie, McLaren, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so you know it's a racing sport, okay? Mm. So you've got cars buzzing around the track, chasing each other. Mm. You know, you've heard of Max Verstappen?
Yeah, number one at the moment.
Who else do we know?
Lewis Hamilton,
seven-time world champion.
Lando Norris.
Why do you know Lando Norris?
Oh, you know, just good buddies.
Good buddies.
I know him from way back.
Oh, okay. Do you follow his Instagram?
I don't actually.
You probably will after the show.
Yeah,
probably. Who else do we know? We know Max, Lewis, Lando. Anybody else coming to mind?
Do you know anyone more?
I do, but I've forgotten them. Mm. It's like number two and number three at the moment, and they've got names.
Yes.
Yeah, they do have names.
But they've got names that like stick in my head, and that's why I remember them.
Charles LaCroix. We got two kind of half names there. Yeah, Daniel Ricciardo's who you probably were saying.
And
Charles LaCroix.
Oh, is it not LaCroix?
No, it's Leclerc. We're just messing with
Leclerc. Oh, I was close. And then there's another one. Not Perez.
Oh,
is it Perez? Something Perez. Something. I don't know.
Sergio.
Sergio. That's right. There's one that starts with A, I think. It's. Oh no! I've lost it.
Alba.
No.
Not Albon.
It was like a Spanish
Alonso.
Name. Yes.
Alonso. Well.
The only other thing that I know is that, okay, I think I know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Don't worry, we will.
Thank you. That Lewis Hamilton's teammate is currently doing better than him.
Yes. Yeah. So George Russell is outperforming Lewis Hamilton.
I just couldn't remember what his name was.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's a big deal?
Well, because Lewis is normally like, what is he, won like...
Seven? Is it seven?
Yeah, he's won 7 world championships.
Well, okay, let me ask then, what is a world championship? What does that mean to win a world championship?
You just have to get the most points, right?
Yeah. Don't they travel around the world?
Yes, that's right. And all over, like...
Different.
Yeah, a lot of European countries.
What about New Zealand?
There used to be, well...
Not officially. Right? There has been a New Zealand Grand Prix, but it's not part of Formula 1.
Where would our tracks even be?
Well, there's one up in the North Island, Hamilton Downs, I'm pretty sure it's called. Hamilton Downs. It's near Hamilton, though.
I don't know.
And then we also have a couple down south and one in Christchurch, but no, we're not going to get Formula 1
ever. I think Hampton Downs is the one in Queenstown, isn't it?
No.
What's the one in Queenstown?
Hampton Downs. I don't know. I cannot
remember. Oh, that one's...
Remember we went past it when we...
The go-karting place?
Yeah, that was Hampton Downs.
Can you drive a Formula 1 car on that... On that?
Wow. No, that one's a newer one.
I know the one you're talking about. We passed it recently.
Yeah.
Mm. But I got a question. It's going to sound dumb, but like, obviously they travel around the world. Do they race with the same car they normally do? So like, how would you ship it? Or would they have like a car at the country?
Good question.
Already? Like, would they build another one? I don't know.
No, they ship it round to each race.
It's so expensive.
They kind of have like a core chassis, and then they break that down into the chassis and they ship the chassis from each race, but then they build
the car up.
Bold
of you to assume they know what a chassis is.
So it's like the like fundamental body of the
car. Kind of the skeleton of it. They have a skeleton and then they add all the parts to it when they get to the race weekend.
They take off all the wheels, the wings, the little bits and pieces, and then it's just left with like the engine and the core car around them, and then they basically fly that over, and then all the parts go over as well. So it's almost like a circus, and it's commonly referred to as like a sporting circus, right? So they pack it all up, fly it over to the next country, unpack it, build the car, race the car.
Yeah, and you have a bunch of performers. You know, the teams are... There are hundreds of people in the team, you know, from the marketing to the engineers to the pit
lanes. Do we know any of the teams? I feel like you know a few more.
Red Bull?
Yeah. There's one.
Mercedes?
Yeah, Mercedes.
No, you only know Red Bull.
Yeah. McLaren? Didn't you guys say McLaren?
Oh, you got to know the one that starts with F.
Ferrari.
Yeah, oh, wow. Unison. So, yes, that is the
we
the
just
classic
say
one.
Mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's 10 teams. I wouldn't expect you guys to get all 10, but...
Oh, yeah, let me just list them off with my amazing knowledge.
You know a few of them. You know, BMW? Alpha or...
BMW.
Not, but they used to
be. BMW used to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alfa Romeo. Have you heard of Alfa Romeo before?
Mario.
No, Alfa Romeo is a team. You know Mercedes?
Yeah.
Mercedes.
Yeah, we see that one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh,
you know more than me.
Way ahead
of you. Yeah, okay. So what else can we explain about this sport? Or what else do you guys know, if anything?
Okay, is cars F1 racing?
The movie cars.
That's a great question.
I think I can actually answer this one.
Oh.
And I might be wrong, but I think it's a no, because the F1 cars are open-topped.
That's a good one.
That's true. Yeah, but so can you name the type of racing?
Absolutely not.
So the Cars movie is structured around NASCAR, which are those cars that it's like the track's just like an oval with like a steeped... It's pretty much steep corners, and they just go round and round and round, and they're like enclosed.
Isn't IndyCar similar sometimes in the fact that it's a
IndyCar like sometimes does ovals, but it also races on road courses.
Right. Whereas NASCAR only does the ovals.
NASCAR predominantly does ovals, but there is one or two road courses that they'll go to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exclusively ovals, but generally oval racing, yes.
Right. Mm.
Well, there you go.
So let me ask you guys then. When do you think Formula One first was invented and became a thing? How old do you reckon the sport is? Just complete guess.
Like in the
90s.
19th century, is that what's called?
19th century.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in the 19th century? So, yep, you're right.
60?
So in the 60s? Where do you guys think?
70s?
70s.
Stab in the dark, go for it. 50s.
Mm. All right. Steve, when was the first Grand Prix?
Technically, it was 1950 is the first Formula One World Championship
that was
season.
A straight up guess, though.
Yeah, so it's about 80 years old, so it's actually a really old sport. Mm. And you can watch some great videos of where basically the first car started and where it has come to now. It's insane. They started off with very thin tyres, complete, obviously, like open top, but they almost had like no doors. Their gear shift was on the outside of the car. The steering wheels were massive. They were about. Oh, they were probably about 2 foot wide. So it was like, imagine you had 2 foot long subways between your hands. That's what you were driving on. And obviously now they're super high tech. And they're much bigger as well. And that's something that's been a new change, is the cars have basically gotten bigger and almost at some point too big for the tracks. So that's where it's got to.
Which country do you think they held the first race in?
Like, where's the home of Formula One?
I was going to say Germany.
Like, I mean, you can guess Germany. I mean,
so you're going Germany, you're going
Italy.
Oh, any guesses, Ella?
Honestly, my first thought was just America, because doesn't
that was geography.
It was actually in Britain, and here's a sort of a true false question. Do you think that they still race on the track that they used in 1950? Do you think they still race at it today?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say
that.
No.
I mean,
it's full. It's true. They do still race.
Really?
It's obviously been upgraded and it's been redeveloped, but they still race at the same circuit.
The Silverstone.
They used, Silverstone for the very first Grand Prix.
Interesting.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, so it's sort of the home of Formula One is Great Britain.
Who won that one?
This year,
Max. No, the first one.
Oh, the first one.
Do you guys even know this?
No.
If anyone knows it, it's Stephen. It's Stephen that will.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Sorry.
Are you sure you can teach us then?
He's not a walking encyclopedia.
Well, actually, he's probably the closest thing we have to a walking encyclopedia.
He's pretty good.
And he was going to bring some stories to the table today on some of the more exciting things that have happened in Formula One. Stephen, have you got any top of mind?
I feel like we should tell them about Abu Dhabi 2021.
Yes, explain the whole fiasco with Verstappen and Hamilton.
Do you guys know anything about Abu Dhabi 2021?
Or more so to the point, do you remember us all going insane at some point last season?
Mm-hmm. Like five.
And didn't I show you that video of us like... You know, freaking out.
People went crazy.
Yeah. Wasn't it when Lewis like crashed or something, and then they like went close?
Tell the story, Steve.
Close. So, Abu Dhabi 2021 was the final race of the 2021 season. Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton were the two guys vying for the world championship on equal points. They're starting the race, and anyway, Lewis Hamilton's been on a roll in the last few races, and it continues into Abu Dhabi. And he's been leading the race throughout. And the race is probably, say, three quarters done. And Lewis has got it in the bag. He's going to win the race. He's going to win the world championship. And then one of the guys from the very slow teams had an accident. And he crashed, which brought out a safety car, which is essentially everyone has to slow down. Mm-hmm. And everyone gets bunched up. So before, the gap between Hamilton and Verstappen was like 20 or 30 seconds, right? So it's a big gap, whereas under the safety car, they all slow down and those gaps just disappear. So Max Verstappen pitted for new tyres, got fresh tyres, which makes you go faster. And because of the safety car, he got really close up to Lewis Hamilton. And at this point, there was probably only 5 or 6 laps to go as the safety car comes out. And because the race had been going on for some time, Lewis had managed to lap some cars, so some cars are so much slower that Lewis could do a whole lap of the circuit and come around behind them and overtake them again. Mm. So you've got 5 or 6 lapped cars in between Hamilton and Verstappen, right? Mm. And one of the most controversial decisions in recent history is the guy who is effectively running the race, the referee, he's called the race director, he's effectively the referee, says that those cars in the middle can overtake Lewis under the safety car and basically make their lap back up again, right? Mm. So this is probably all really confusing, but essentially he got those 5 cars that were in between Hamilton and Verstappen, he got them out the way, and then Verstappen and Hamilton are right behind each other. Yeah. Verstappen's got the fresh tyres and there's 1 lap to go in the entire race. Mm-hmm. And they they let the safety car go back into the pit, so it's race back to racing for one lap. And halfway through that lap, Verstappen overtakes Hamilton and overtakes and goes on to win the race, thus winning the world championship.
Because they were on equal points.
So the thing about it, I think it's a 60-lap race. Essentially, for 59 and a half laps, Lewis led, but he didn't lead that last half a lap.
The whole, so annoyed. Like, a lot of the Formula One world was rooting for Max Verstappen because we were always rooting for the underdog, and Hamilton had been dominating, Mercedes had been dominating for so long. Mm-hmm. And so Verstappen had been winning, like, multiple races and like leading the season, but then obviously Hamilton had equalized the points. But then through this race, it looked like Hamilton was going to win again and win the world championship, and it was we were a bit disappointed down in the dumps and everything.
Yeah, Red Bull had thrown everything at Mercedes. They had tried all these different strategies, they had tried different things to make it work, and they just couldn't beat them.
Yeah,
and yeah, if this one incident hadn't happened that brought out the safety car, it would have been Lewis Hamilton's.
But so that's why we freaked out, was because we didn't see it coming, but suddenly we got some actual racing. But yes, Mercedes and the whole Lewis Hamilton fandom are still probably salty about that moment.
What makes it more controversial is the race director didn't follow the rules.
So what is the rules?
Like, so the rules, one of the technicalities was that there were a whole bunch of lapped cars under the safety car, but the only ones that were allowed to effectively gain their lap back and overtake Hamilton were the ones between Hamilton and Verstappen.
Right.
So no one else behind them were not, they just had to stay in position. And the other controversial thing is that when the race director let those cars take their lap back, they were meant to then give another lap of safety car running, whereas he let them go and then brought the safety car in. And if he had let the safety car go around for another lap, then the race wouldn't have, Verstappen wouldn't have been able to overtake Hamilton. So there were sort of two key rules that were bent very...
There's this iconic moment where the principal of Mercedes goes, "No, Michael," because his name's Michael, "No, Michael, no, you can't do this." And Michael responds with, "We're going racing."
Yeah, because basically all the team principals...
What does it say? It's a Formula One race, or we've gone racing.
Yeah, we went car racing.
But basically all the team principals can call in to the referee and talk to him, right? It gets super heated. Sometimes they're just yelling, like, it's like polite abuse. They're basically saying, like, "What are you doing? This is terrible." And they're always arguing their case. So Formula One's like a very political sport. So you'll get the
the race director lost his job over it. He's gone now,
and he's still getting a lot of online abuse apparently.
And he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement as well to effectively say he wouldn't talk publicly about what happened.
Far out.
Yeah.
People. Some people would say that Lewis Hamilton got robbed, but I mean, I'm a Verstappen fan, so I'm going to just choose to ignore that look at the fact that Verstappen still deserved, in a lot of ways, to win the whole world championship because he'd done so well.
In the moment, you could see what they were doing with it. They were trying to create a spectacle. Like, they didn't want it to end under the safety car and it sort of all fizzle out. Like, they were trying to create that one last lap battle, which they gave us, and that was really exciting. But I mean, on reflection, I sort of think, yeah, it was a bit tough. Bit of a tough one for Mercedes to take, really.
But and arguably as well, Lewis Hamilton might have retired if he'd won that eighth world title. So the fact that he didn't win he's now stuck around, and now they have a terrible car. So it's all gone
downhill.
It's
going to be hard for him to win an eighth.
And the one thing that I think a lot of people forget is that Hamilton throughout most of the season had been beaten by Red Bull were kind of the better team. They were the better team. They had the advantage. And then it was in the last four races before this Abu Dhabi race, Hamilton won those four races. And then this would have been five race wins in a row to sort of wrestle back the championship. It would have been an amazing comeback story. Failed at the very single last.
It was a very historic moment, but it would have been even more historic because Lewis Hamilton was about to beat the record for the most world championships won. So have you guys heard of Michael Schumacher?
I've heard of his name.
So he was like a super dominant German driver back in the kind of 90s and early 2000s, and he won seven world championships, and he's So it's the same as Lewis Hamilton had won up to that point. Mm. So there was always this debate about who was the true GOAT. Do you guys know what GOAT means in sport?
Yes. Mm.
How, what does it stand for? Nice, nice. But yeah, like there was always this debate, and Lewis Hamilton was about to just beat the final record, get his eighth, and like
probably,
you know,
leave the sport.
Probably
after
leave.
That.
Yeah. You can. It's going to be very hard for anyone to ever come up and win and beat eight world championships.
Does he have to do them in a row?
No, he didn't win them in a row. Oh, yeah. That would be another interesting record. I think maybe Vettel has that record four in a row.
Yeah, Vettel's had four in a row, but Schumacher had five.
Just I think. Four.
You know, he had five in a row.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he was 2000 to 2004.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's definitely got more. Yeah, but I think it's probably Schumacher with five. Is the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this because Fangio wouldn't have got his five, so it must be Schumacher with
Fangio five. Fangio at five.
Fangio has six, I think, overall.
Interesting.
Does he?
No, maybe he does only have five. It's five or six. But then it's only Lewis and Michael above that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone always just remembers who wins, you know, second place. It's such a competitive sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of money on the line for these teams and sponsorship deals. And yeah, like you definitely get caught up in the world if you kind of...
A lot of drivers as well, they tend to stay too long in the sport, so they peak and they're excellent, they win like a world championship or something, and then they spend the next three seasons or four seasons just not getting anywhere close, and it's a bit sad, whereas you've had some drivers, so obviously Lewis was on his like winning rampage of winning all these championships, and this driver's name was Nico Rosberg, who was his teammate, and he in 2016 he stole quite spectacularly, almost like Max did, Lewis's title hopes, and then just retired straight after that. Whereas a lot of other drivers, like Alonso, who you guys were mentioning before, he's won like two world championships and then always been chasing it again. Now he's like 42 and very, very, very unlikely he'll win one more.
Yeah, because I think there's this thing that...
But Alonso's still got it, though. Alonso's still a quick
driver. But he's not... He's not ever... I don't think any, like, title-winning team's going to sign him.
Well, for his age, maybe, but his current performance is...
Yeah, but like I said, I don't think he'll win a third.
It's fair to say that, like, once a driver gets past 30, like, the mid-30s, it's even harder because you've got age working against you as well, and the older you get, just ever so slightly your reaction times are lessened.
I think as well, like, it's that, but it's also the fact that then the teams start looking at younger drivers for the future. And then
up and coming.
Yeah, and then they start transferring people out based on age as well. And I think that's, like, I think you're right. Like, Alonso physically could, if you put him in the Red Bull, he'd go and win a championship. But I just don't think he fits the model for the team.
Yeah, I
really,
agree with you on that point.
Do you think his reaction times are just as good as Max?
I wouldn't say just as good, but like I still think he's good enough where if you put him in a car, he would be competitive.
Alonso in an equal car at the moment, in equal cars out of all the 20 drivers, would be among the top three.
Because like, experience is also quite important.
That's true.
In a sport like this.
Yeah, because it's not just about speed, it's about like, you know, learning how to avoid, well, not making mistakes, because when you're an amateur, you're very early on, you can make some stupid mistakes.
Yeah. And and also, like, he'll have all the tricks in the book about looking after his tyres and, like, you know, how to handle, like, race pressure and stuff like that. So it would be awesome if you could put, like, him and Vettel in really competitive cars. Oh, well, not Vettel, because he's not around much longer, but, you know, like, you're right. Yeah. I think he could probably compete, but it's not going to happen.
But, yeah, I take your point, though, in that a team with a five-year vision wouldn't want to sign Alonso with him being, you know, among the oldest Formula One drivers.
Except that's kind of just what Aston Martin might do. Maybe not 5 years, but...
Yeah. Certainly they think he's got two or three in it.
Should we get into that kind of, you know...
Transfer world.
Yeah, so, like, maybe update on what's been happening right now in this in
absolutely
this
I mean, it's silly season, so what we kind of mean by that is there's a period, so right now we're on the summer break for Formula One, so there's no racing going on, but it means that teams start to having more like negotiations around who they're going to sign for next season. People like Vettel has recently come out with retirement, all sorts of things
that
like
that.
That
was the first domino effect.
Yeah,
when Vettel announces shock retirement, like, no one really saw it coming, even his own team thought he was going to stay on.
Yeah.
From there was a gap with Aston Martin that needed to be filled. Very quickly, within a week, Alonso signed on to Aston Martin.
Sorry, are these the people or are these the names of the...
Oh, well, okay, so these are... Yeah, there's a bit of both. So Aston Martin is a... Yeah, because you could easily think that's Aston Martin was a driver.
Aston Martin's a team.
Yes, so Aston Martin is a team.
Yeah.
Sebastian Vettel is a person who left the team and then has that position has been filled by Fernando Alonso, which was very surprising. So it's like they've probably offered him a lot of money or because that team wasn't as good as the one Alonso was at. Anyway, he goes there. Suddenly, the team that he left, Alpine, which is like a French racing team, go like, oh, my God, we've lost, you know, our really good driver, Alonso. And they go, okay, well, that's fine. We're going to take Oscar Piastri. And because he's been like a junior driver who's been up and coming for years. Like, he's won F2, F3.
He's also, so just the important context here, that each team has two drivers, but they can have reserve drivers or like
Can't they have like up to four?
They only have two race drivers, but they can use other drivers in like practice sessions or test sessions.
And also, if one of them gets COVID, then the reserve driver.
So most teams have two race drivers, and then they'll have like a reserve driver.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Oscar Piastri was the reserve driver for Alpine. So it was almost just a given that once one of the positions opened at Alpine, Oscar Piastri would come in. He's this young Australian guy. But then, so Alpine even announce it on Twitter, and they say, we're really happy to announce that Oscar Piastri is going to drive for us next year. And
it was like 2 hours later or something
like
that.
Yeah, like literally. Even the F1 official Instagram page has posted it. So, but then Oscar Piastri posts on his Instagram and Twitter, I understand that Alpine have announced that I'm driving for them next year. This is wrong. I have not signed a contract with them, and
I will not be racing for Alpine
next year. It was very like
super
definitive.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, super embarrassing for Alpine.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that's very dramatic in this, like, because you don't just go out there and announce a driver without signing a contract.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes you look like a clown.
I've seen conspiracies that it was just a big PR stunt. Like, they did it like knowing that this would be the reaction, because then it literally went global. It, like, you had football clubs posting the same format of message for like players that they were signing, and it was just like a global meme for like a week. If it was done on purpose,
fair play. As you say, all press is, or even bad press is good press. I mean, it did make Alpine look silly, but you know, maybe
we'll never know for sure.
But so what's happened now? I mean, has it been officially announced?
No, so the reported reason as to why Piastri came out saying I'm not driving for them is he's reportedly signed, and this is all, so I'm using the word reportedly because all of this is like coming from news reports that are anonymously sourced, so they're not official, but this is what's believed to be happening, is that Piastri has signed a deal with McLaren to join them and replace the driver Daniel Ricciardo, who's really been struggling for McLaren.
He's not doing well.
Yeah.
Not doing well.
Have you heard me rant about him a few times?
No, I have. Because the person that I most follow in F1 is Lando Norris, and obviously his teammate is Daniel Ricciardo. And so the fact that Daniel's not doing as well, my heart goes out to him. I feel bad for him because he does seem like a nice guy from the very limited knowledge that I have.
He has quite a good personality. If you know, he does shoeies whenever he does the podium. He does shoeies.
It's so good.
You obviously know.
Was that? Who sprayed? Did they spray Putin with the?
It was Hamilton.
Was it?
What's this?
The
Russian Grand Prix.
Was that the inaugural 2014?
Right.
I saw a video of it and I thought that was quite funny.
It's pretty funny. I didn't even know he did that.
I'd
ballsy.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so essentially Ricciardo's been struggling, but Ricciardo has a contract for 2023. So With McLaren. So what's happening is McLaren have sort of said to Piastri, they've said, reportedly told Ricciardo, we're replacing you with Piastri. But they want to sort, they need to pay him a hefty sum to get out of his contract. And then they're also trying to find him another seat in Formula One. But they're not going to, they can't really announce Piastri as their new driver until they've sorted out Ricciardo and his contract.
And I think the big lesson for all the teams is do not announce anything unless you know for sure.
Official.
You know, because it's just embarrassing. So I think everyone's just holding back from announcing anything until they know.
Yeah, but it will be interesting because McLaren, well, Ricciardo kind of has, like, it would be a really weird move, but he could kind of dig his feet in and go, I have a valid contract, so I'm driving for you next season, and then Piastri could sort of get left in no man's land, potentially, but I think that's quite unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, Piastri kind of really has completely shunned Alpine. You know, he's like, I will not be driving for Alpine, and I don't really see how their relation can
It's literally like your boss being like, you're going to work for us next year, and then you publicly go, I'm not going to work for them next year, and then you having to work for them. It would be terribly awkward. Yeah. Like, I don't see how they would necessarily now even want Oscar if that's been the case. Yeah. You know, if the relationship's burnt already, then surely, like, that's a sign that he's not going to race there.
But yeah. Why was he like that? Like, why?
Well, because I think people are sort of using it as he must be pretty confident he'll get the McLaren seat if he's that comfortable cussing away Alpine.
The reports are as well, I believe, that he signed the stuff with McLaren before Alonso made the move out of Alpine. So he was thinking, I'm not going to get a seat at Alpine next year, and signed the deal with McLaren.
Because Alpine
and then the seat opened up
that Alonso was going to be there. So basically it all went down when Vettel retired, but also Alonso jumping ship so quickly and not telling anyone.
So unexpected, yeah. Alonso going and replacing Vettel at Aston Martin was just,
you wouldn't believe it, because generally drivers do not want to, they don't choose to go to a team that isn't as good. So Alpine is faster, the car is faster than Aston Martin. So the fact that Alonso has gone, I would rather drive for Aston Martin, is crazy, because normally the only reason that would happen is if the team is kicking them out and he has no choice but to go somewhere else.
So we kind of expect that he's been offered like a massive contract,
lots of money.
Or a longer extension.
The other thing is that Alpine didn't want to give Alonso a 2-year contract, whereas he wanted 2 years. And that's what they reckon broke the camel's back or whatever.
Yeah, I guess the straw that broke the camel's back.
Fernando Alonso is also kind of known by everybody as having really bad career moves. So like he's potentially in a really good spot, and then he just makes a terrible decision, goes to a team, and does worse.
Yeah.
And I genuinely feel like Alpine are gradually getting closer and closer to being competitive. Next season they could be really competitive, and he goes to Aston Martin, which is so far off the pace, like it could be another terrible career move for him.
But I guess one of the themes here is that, like, drivers aren't always after, well, you never know really what they're after, but some of them might just be after the money. So I mean, I don't know if you guys know, how much do you reckon like a Formula One driver gets paid?
I know what Lewis allegedly gets paid, so he's top rank. So what would you guys estimate? And let's go off like a week. How much do you think they earn a week?
Well, it's a rich man's sport.
Yeah.
And I say man.
That's true. They're all 20 drivers.
Literally all 20 men drivers.
If it's any help, I don't know.
I might Google it as you guys are guessing.
Yeah, my info might be out of date, but ballpark, I reckon I've got it.
I'm just going to go off what rugby players get paid and then up that. I don't even know what rugby players in all honesty.
It's not a good start.
So that's not how.
Have you got a guess more?
I'm just going to say $1 million.
$1 million?
A week.
A week.
Oh, okay.
I'll say like $10,000 a week.
$10,000 a week.
I think it's so small, but I don't know.
I'd say like $500,000 a week.
Interesting. Okay, so I was under the impression that it was about $850,000 a week. But Josh will have the stats.
Got a number here.
I think it might be more.
I thought Lewis was up about 90 mil. Had a 90 mil contract.
What it says here.
90 million contract.
No, it says 40 million US.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Which would be 90 million New Zealand.
Yes,
just about.
Works out to be about.
No, you're thinking pounds. US would be.
It's like maybe 65.
Yeah, it would
something.
Only be 60.
Yeah, well, 40 million US. I mean, Max Verstappen 25, Alonso 20. Lando, 20 million.
Chat.
That's, I mean, Lewis Hamilton, you pay a lot for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still crazy to think a lot of these drivers earn the $20 to $30 million a year.
Insane. Yeah.
So you know? What does it make out to be a week?
Well, I mean, if we do
well, that's about 850K a week.
Yeah, if you divide that.
If it's what, did you say 40 million US?
So let's say Lewis Hamilton, 40 million
US.
US.
Okay, and there's 52 weeks in a year.
What would that be? New Zealand? Because we were guessing in New Zealand.
Do you want to convert it?
It would be about $1 million.
About $1 million a week, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So it's good a guess, massive Chelsea. Sport. Nice one, Chelsea. It's a very expensive sport. And, yeah, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg is paying the driver. But, yeah.
Do you guys know how people become Formula One drivers? Like, where does it start? Like, do you guys know?
I do.
You do?
So there's a thing called F4. I don't know if this is the lowest, but there's a thing called F4 racing. And then if they do really well in that, they go to F3 and then F2 and then F1 racing.
So how do you think people get into F4?
Any ideas? They'd be like scouted or something. Like,
yeah. I don't know. Where would they be scouted from? Yeah. Karting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's typically where it'll start. So even when they're sort of, I jump into a kart, sort of 5 and 6 years old sometimes.
Some even younger.
Even younger.
Some 3 or 4.
Yeah, and they jump into little carts and they're buzzing around the track and basically they just gradually work their way up. But typically the family needs to have quite a lot of money. Right. But interestingly, in Lewis Hamilton's case, his family, they did not have a heap of money. But Anthony Hamilton, his dad, basically put everything into it and, man, it paid off. I mean, now he's earning $40 million a year, but started off just as a huge investment. Mm. Yeah,
I mean, he clearly had so much talent.
He was signed by McLaren at like age 13 or something.
Wow.
Like,
really?
Yeah. There you go. Wow. Yeah. So there you go. So you can get scouted pretty young if you show skill.
Yeah. But it pays off, right? Because you get scouted, probably, I doubt there's any real expense up front. And then potentially you just grow them into becoming a Lewis Hamilton, you know? Mm. So.
But some of them never get out of F4. A lot of them never get out of F4 because it's only 20 seats in F1.
Yeah.
So
where you've got other sports where there might be hundreds of players in that sort of top few divisions, like if we look at football or rugby and there's multiple high levels, you've got hundreds of players across that. In Formula One, you have to be in the top 20 drivers in the world.
Right. And think about the fact that you're always trying to compete with not just the other teams, but your own teammate. So if your own teammate is constantly faster than you in lap times, then you are going to be seen, because that's the same machinery, right? You're both driving the same car. Mm. If you're consistently slower than your teammate for all 20 races, that just shows you're not very good. And very quickly, the team's going to look for someone better. So then if you crash like 3 times in a row, that's going to put a lot of pressure on you. So there's always pressure to perform in F1, which I don't know if we ever really think about, like, the psychological effect that being an F1 driver might have.
Yeah, I wonder though if you've grown up racing, constantly competing for that first position, it must breed that into you where you either have a really big ego and you think you're the best, so you'll like regardless get through it, or it does condition you over time. But yeah, it would be interesting, what does that do to a person, like decades of just high level competition, heaps of stress.
Yeah. So shall we do this segment where we get the girls to rate? So, I mean, there's a lot of attractive
It's typically
drivers.
It's typically a wealthy, good-looking sport. You know, they race in Monaco, they race in Italy, around the world. It's a huge event. It's huge sponsors. It attracts a lot of awesome people, a lot of rich people, also a lot of good-looking people. And you've got to be an athlete.
You have to have a really strong neck, which is surprising.
Really hench neck,
Do like neck day.
Actually, really. the ideal like Formula One physique is that you're actually quite skinny, short, but with a hench neck.
Hench neck.
You have to. You
that's
can't.
An interesting picture.
Yeah, like they do have to watch their weight as well, because if you're a heavier driver, if you're way too heavy, that would slow the car down.
Yeah.
There's time there.
So what I've got here, guys, is quite a few open tabs of some of the drivers and some of the team principals. Can't forget them. And we're going to get you guys to rate them out of 10, do we say?
Yeah, okay. just on how beautiful they are.
So 10 being beautiful, like gorgeous.
One being...
I would politely decline them if they approached me at a bar.
Very politely.
I don't think I'd
you would run away screaming.
Like any F1 driver.
Yeah,
actually,
that's a fair
point.
They're carrying like 20 million on their list.
Yeah, and they're good looking. They're famous. They're badass because they're like driving Formula 1.
There's a lot going for them. There's a lot going.
Let's just say a lot of them, you know, attract...
So why don't we pass it around and then we'll ask for your rating, so you'll have a little bit of time.
Wait, who are you showing?
Well, this
can
is
I just show you guys
Norris
like that?
Right here, 10 out of 10.
Is this Lando Norris?
Yeah.
So just pass it around.
So 10 out of 10.
That's a bad photo of him, to be fair.
Yeah. So you've seen it?
It. That's a person, Josh. They're not just racing
what
robots.
Do you think?
It's not just a person. That's a specimen.
Yeah, I feel like it's not just down. I don't know.
Oh, do you want another photo?
Well, that's giving me a 7. So
yeah. Oh wow,
it's not a
wow.
Photo, it's four.
Okay, what about this photo of him?
Look, if Lando's a 7.
Okay, that's a 10.
That's a bad photo.
A 10.
Maybe a 9.6.
Wow, there we go.
Okay,
hey, and we got
well,
a light.
Well, can I ask, is Stephen better looking than Lando?
Yeah.
There you go.
Get in, Steve, get in.
Yeah, okay. All right, well.
I think probably Instagram photos would be best, because that's where they, like, have their photos.
No, but you can't always see them at their best.
No, you've got to love them at their worst.
Fair point.
Now, with Lewis Hamilton, guys, it's either with the hat or without the hat.
Without the hat.
Has he got a big forehead?
Yeah.
Oh. That is not the reaction you want.
He's still all right, right?
No, he's a lovely man.
No, I think I would say like a 6.
Yeah, I'd go 6
no,
or 7.
No, I would say an 8.
Yeah.
Big up, Lewis.
Nice fact. The thing for me about him is that I can see him being really up himself, especially with the 7 Grand Prix.
Championships.
Yeah. The money.
I think all Formula One drivers are probably going to be fairly up themselves.
But I think he'd be the worst.
Well, I mean, look, we're judging it. We're very much judging people by their pictures.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
He's got lovely skin, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say.
Lovely skin. Yeah. It's the hair for me. That's why he's an 8. Like,
oh.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, I reckon you'd suit the little braids.
Braids like that. Slick back.
Less of a forehead.
Polite request. I'm sure he'll ask
still,
a surgeon.
I'd still go out on a date with him.
Fair enough.
Give him a chance.
Oh, he's kind of cute.
So this is Charles Leclerc for Ferrari.
Oh, he's number 2.
Yeah.
He is at the moment.
He's actually cute.
Yeah. He's 10 for me.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He's probably
universal.
Yeah, I'd put him 9.
I'd give him a 9. Yeah.
He's a...
The accent will really add to it.
Yeah,
it'll
add to it.
Where's he from?
Monaco, which is kind of France.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd do it.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a lovely guy as well, but just
very humble.
I really love the South African accent.
Oh, do you?
Strangely enough.
There's no South African drivers.
So that's him as well.
Oh, he's a 10.
Yeah.
Straight up.
All right, well, okay. Max Verstappen.
Oh, no.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Yeah, this
is the same guy you just showed us.
No. This is Max Verstappen for Red Bull.
Yeah,
he's got a nice jawline, but
that's true.
He's like a 6.5. It's like he's got good features, but it didn't blend
well. It's not quite working. Yeah.
Like a 5.
Wow. Poor
maybe.
Max.
Yeah, I feel bad because I feel
good
like
thing he's a good driver,
nice
He wouldn't have a career in modelling by the sounds of it.
All right, here's Valtteri Bottas.
Oh, maybe like a 3.
Is he ginger?
Is he?
He's probably strawberry blonde. Yeah. Oh, you got photos.
Yeah, I can show. Can show more.
I think you've shown us a bad photo.
Okay, he could be like a 6 or 7. I feel like he looks like a nice guy. Yeah, I feel just because he looks old. I think that's why. But like, if you look past that.
He is a very nice guy.
Seven as well.
Yeah.
He seems like a lovely guy.
And now we have one of the most attractive men in the sport, Gunther Steiner.
Oh, Gunther.
Gunther Steiner.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
And if you don't.
Is it this person? I feel like he's lying to me.
That's him.
That's who we've got.
And if at home you don't know who Gunther Steiner is,
there's only one right answer.
The team principal of Haas Racing. Mm-hmm. And he's a lovely,
mid-50s. And funny man.
Funny man.
If you like a funny man, well.
So Gunther Steiner's your man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a nice way. Oh, Zach Brown. This is another team
he's
principal.
He's got a real awesome American accent as well.
He's the team, he's the team principal.
Sorry. He's a powerful man.
I'm sorry, mate.
I don't think I'd even see you today.
Yeah, no. I'd have to pass him.
He talks about
Lando. I mean, if he has like $100 million, I don't know. I might
have to talk to him first, but he may give creepy man vibes.
Mm.
He looks like he
just
does.
The age.
This what is about? Such a millennial discussion.
Yeah, this is great. Toto Wolff.
Oh,
Mercedes team principal.
Is he the Italian?
Very German.
German.
Okay, no, he's I'll give him. He's an 8.
For an older guy, he's not a bad-looking dude.
It's probably a 6 for me.
I'm like, just imagine this money. So, like, look at him and money. I'm telling you, he could be a sugar daddy.
Yeah, no, he's nice.
He's fitter than the other ones you've shown us.
Right.
Than the other older men.
All right, shall we show Christian Horner?
And bear in mind, Christian Horner is about 5 foot.
But he's married to a Spice Girl.
Oh, good.
Which one?
Jerry Spice. I don't know which Spice she is.
Blonde Ginger, one. No, she's Ginger, oh, she's Ginger Spice, Spice, I'm pretty right. sure.
Oh, yeah,
oh, she's
yeah.
pretty. He's not bad,
he's
actually.
A, yeah, he's yeah. British. British. You know what to do.
He's a good old
There's British him with his Spice Girl.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 for her.
Yeah.
All right, who should we close? Should we close it with Cyril?
Cyril Abdoulay.
Cyril.
Oh my god.
Who was the former
Frenchman.
Former team principal of Renault.
You guys haven't shown we haven't showed Pierre Gasly yet.
Oh, we have to do that.
Yeah,
we'll
have
end
to
on
show
Pierre.
It's like a seven.
I would say three.
No, I'm a fan
three.
Of
three.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Show a picture of his arms. His arms are the best.
Wait, did you show a photo of him having hair or no hair?
Yeah, there's him with his hairy arms.
Oh.
Does that improve the score?
Does that improve it?
What do you think of that
there's
one?
A certain, yeah, that's yeah. the one we're looking yeah. at. There's a certain type of personality for him.
Oh, bless.
Is it not you?
It's not me, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Okay, well.
He's a bit too old.
How about
for me.
Who's better? Like, is this more attractive? Is Pierre Gasly more attractive than.
God,
who did they say was a 10? Leclerc.
Oh, Leclerc.
God, who's
yeah.
He's cute.
He's gorgeous. He's like 11. Like, yeah, holy. He's cute.
Who does he race for?
This photo, I don't
casually
know.
Casually ask for the name.
Yeah.
Wait, this photo is not it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, ooh, that's not
that?
It.
That's not a very good photo of him.
But then,
yeah.
Then
if he's got a cap a on, one. He's, then, ooh.
If he's constantly smiling at me, it'll be like 11. That'll be fine. Yeah, no, that's not it. Yeah,
so that's
no,
Pierre Gasly.
He's like a 9.
Yeah, no, he's, oof.
Should we give them signs as well? Just
oh, yeah.
so that
yeah, bring up Carlos.
Give
Carlos
them signs. Carlos signs, the other Ferrari
oh,
driver.
Other Ferrari
oh,
driver.
He's cute.
Did oh, yeah. he used to be Lando's teammate?
He did, yeah.
Yes.
He used to be McLaren.
I recognise his face. He seems like he'd be a nice guy in all
He
honesty.
Plays golf, so you know. Take
so
that as you will.
That's like three then.
Oh, I bet he could get karts in golf, though.
Mm. Oh, yes. We don't. We're not Formula One drivers.
No,
if
no.
we turned up and we were Formula One drivers, they would give us karts, that's for sure.
Yeah. For reference, Josh and I played golf and didn't get offered karts. Anyway, moving on.
So, all right. Well, that kind of
concludes,
yeah,
concludes
well,
today. I think if you guys are interested in learning more, if you're interested in drama, television as well, I'm sure you guys will watch Netflix, we would highly recommend watching Drive to Survive. It's wow. basically, and as a Formula One fan, sometimes you get a little bit annoyed at it because they somewhat misconstrue things, but they basically take all of the information we've talked about today, turn up the drama by 10, and yeah, they basically get in behind the scenes and they see all the sort of back dialogue between all the drivers and
that's
whatnot.
Cool.
And it's very exciting. So
yeah.
there's multiple seasons there and we definitely recommend you jump
recommend
and watch
it.
That if you want to
and
get
into
the sport.
And that's how Rory and I got into the sport, got up to date with it and
yeah.
really got into
yeah, because they're all characters, even the team principals, and you learn them and you like some, you don't like others. So it can get really exciting. Mm.
Well, last thing to close it off, do you guys have any final questions or comments about the sport, about
the
what you've
sport.
Learnt, or just,
well,
yeah,
no
observations?
One, no one said who Pierre drives for.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And
they drive for, he drives for AlphaTauri.
Oh,
I've heard of these.
Yeah, so they're kind of owned by Red Bull as well, but they're a separate team.
They're like a junior Red Bull team.
Yeah.
So.
Is he good?
He's a good driver. He's struggling this season, but there's a high chance, I think. He's probably one of the more likely drivers who, if Lewis left, who would potentially replace.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
you
pretty
wouldn't
promising.
Want to be going to Mercedes at the moment, though.
So Lewis should have won last year. You're telling me that?
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then you would have seen Pierre in the number
oh
one seat.
Gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name again? Max Verstappen?
You don't know. You
no,
don't want Max Verstappen.
No, director? Oh.
What? Oh, Michael Massey,
oh.
yeah. Blame Michael Massey.
Massey.
It's all
yeah.
Michael Massey. And that's, I guess, how we'll leave it off
that's
today.
How we'll leave it.
It's all Michael Massey's fault. I'm sure he's heard that a lot.
According to them, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's close it off, guys. Thanks very much for coming and for learning. And
thanks for having
yeah,
us.
Thanks,
yeah.
for, having
thanks
us.
For everyone for listening. And we will be back potentially next week as we get closer to the season getting back on track where Max looks to continue to push for the title. Any closing thoughts, Steve?
Oh, you've caught me a bit unawares there. No, it'll be interesting. We're back at Spa
back at Spa.
You weren't
here last week when we did the podcast. What would you have any predictions for Spa in case we don't get in studio beforehand?
Which is in Belgium. I don't know if that means anything.
Yeah,
I know exactly where it is.
I don't know. I feel like it'll be Ferrari's weekend. I feel like Ferrari will start with a win in Spa, but then it will go down.
Will Mattia Binotto be?
Yeah, I think they'll hold on to him.
They'll hold on to him.
I don't think they'll get rid of him.
Do you think Ferrari will be far more consistent in these last few races? Do you think they'll have any more problems?
No, I don't think they'll be more consistent. I think what we're seeing will continue.
Do you think that they'll improve in any way? Will their strategy improve? Will their car improve?
No, I think the cars will stay sort of similar performance-wise, but I think Ferrari's mistakes will continue. I don't think reliability doesn't appear to be an overnight fix, and the
Rome
team
wasn't built
issues,
in a day.
Yeah, and the team issues in terms of strategy.
That was an Italian reference. That was good.
Exactly.
That was multi-layer.
Talking about Ferrari. Thank you. Didn't see that.
I don't see any reason why they would stop.
There we go. Let's leave it there with that prediction.
All right. We'll see you guys closer to Spa. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Catch you guys later.
Thanks for listening to 3Pre1Cast. If you want to catch up on any of our episodes, check us out on Plains FM, Apple Podcast, or Spotify.
Come and say hi to us on Instagram and TikTok at 3Pre1Cast.